So I'm going to talk tonight about overcoming insecurity and low self-confidence. All right. So I don't know if you have dealt with that, but if you've ever dealt with that at any point in time in your life, raise your hand. All right. If you've ever dealt with insecurity or low self-confidence, I think it's something that everybody has dealt with at some point in time in their life. So if you happen to be in that season right now, that's quite all right, because a lot of people have been in that season before, and maybe they're not in that season right now, but they've been there before. So tonight we're going to talk about that. At some point in your life, you may have a crisis in this situation, but you're in good company because you're not alone, because some of the greatest Bible heroes in the Bible had struggles just like that. Some of the greatest prophets struggled with depression. Some of the greatest apostles struggled with insecurity. Some of the disciples of Jesus struggled with insecurity. And the reason for that is because you are a body, a soul, and a spirit. And even though you may be spiritually strong, you may also be dealing with something in your soul. Your spirit may be on fire and fired up with God, but you may be hurting on the inside. And that has nothing to do with your spirit. That just means that you're broken, that somebody's hurt you, or you are frustrated, or you're angry about something, that you're dealing with some emotional baggage that has either been caused by you or someone else that you're in relationship with. And so even though you are praying and you're worshiping and your spirit is soaring, you can still have emotional issues or physical issues that affect your body. How many of you know that just because that even when you're sick, you're still saved? How many of you know, aren't you glad about that? How many of you know that if your body is broken, you're still saved, you're still filled with the Spirit, you're still as strong as you've ever been in the Lord, even if your body is in the process of repair? So we have to understand sometimes that there are seasons of life where we need God to do some work, either in our mind, our will, our emotions, or our body. Even though spiritually we love the Lord with all of our heart, we find ourselves in a state of self-doubt, a place of low self-esteem, a place of insecurity. Well, many people in the Bible had issues just like that. People like David, people like Elijah, people like Moses, people like Jonah, Jeremiah. Peter had problems that are very evident. You know, he denied Christ, had a hot temper. And even though he was the guy that preached the sermon on the day of Pentecost, God had to do some work in him. He had denied Jesus 3 times at his trial. He had some emotional baggage of insecurity. That's why he did that, even though he loved the Lord and said, "Not on my watch," and was drawing a sword to fight for him. But even that great apostle had a moment of self-doubt and insecurity. It happens to everyone. Martha, Hannah, Paul. You know, David is known for his courage and his wisdom, but if you've ever read the Psalms, you also see the broken side of David, where he pours his heart out and says things like, "No man cared for my soul." Have you ever felt that way before? Nobody cares about me. Nobody sees me. Have you ever been in a place of life where you felt invisible? Where it's like people's lives were just going on and you felt like here you were broken or hurting and no one was even paying attention and no one was... Have you ever seen someone crying out for help before and they're doing desperate things and sometimes ridiculous things because they're crying out for somebody to help them because they don't know how to help themselves? And that does not mean that they don't love Jesus or love people. It just means they're in a place of brokenness and hurt and pain. Maybe they need to forgive, or maybe someone needs to forgive them. Even if you've hurt someone else and you feel like they don't forgive you, there's a place of pain there that you need to bring some type of resolve and closure. The great prophet Elijah, known for his fiery zeal, a guy that could call fire down out of heaven, got so scared he used his spiritual powers to kill people. And then when he kills the prophets of Baal, this guy who could call fire down out of heaven and literally killed 50 men at one time with fireballs from heaven. I mean, you think that's pretty spiritual, you know? He killed a whole battalion of men coming to arrest him. He thought they were coming to arrest him. And then he did it again another time. And then he kills 850 prophets of Baal. And after all that, Jezebel threatens him and he runs and hides in a cave. And he says, God, I want to die. He's so depressed and he wants to die. And listen to what he says. I'm the only one left. He felt so alone. After he had done all those great exploits for the Lord. Here's Moses, who was a prince of Egypt, leads the children of Israel out of bondage, but yet he is the guy, and we're going to talk about him a little bit, that had a huge moment of self-doubt and said, who am I? Why don't you pick somebody else? I'm the least worthy to do this. I can't even talk plain. Why don't you find somebody that can at least get their words together? Because I can't even do that. Why would you choose me to be a leader when I am slow of speech, he said. Why me? You have Jonah. Well, I don't even have to tell you that one. Jonah ran from the Lord, got on a ship, got thrown off the ship, swallowed by a whale, and ended up right where God told him to go. Actually, he didn't. You know, we think that there's an inland somehow that gets to Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. After the whale spit up Jonah, he had to walk 500 miles to complete his assignment. So he wasn't quite as wound up in seaweed when he got there as sometimes we think. He had a 500-mile trip that he had to go to. That's the nearest coastline. So Jonah was a man who was in the school of the prophets. And do you know who Jonah's teacher was? You know who sent him to Nineveh? Elisha the prophet. He's the headmaster of the school of the prophets when Jonah goes to the prophet. And you know what? Jonah's already had a miracle. Do you know who the little boy was that Elijah raised from the dead in the house of the widow of Zarephath? It was Jonah. The widow of Zarephath is Jonah's mother. And Jonah has been raised from the dead. He has been schooled in the school of Elisha the prophet and the school of the prophets. And after all of that hanging around all of those holy people, he's had the blessing of Elijah and Elisha, but not enough self-confidence to go and preach salvation to Nineveh. Everyone struggles with it. Jeremiah, his was because he was too young. Lord, no one's going to pay attention to me. I'm too young. I'm not even 30 years of age. They won't even recognize me as a man yet. I can't even do legal things yet because, you know, we've brought that way down to 18 now, but in his day it was 30. He says, they're not even going to pay any attention to me. I'm not even 30 years of age yet. And he falls into such deep depression that he writes a whole book of the Bible about it called Lamentations. I mean, if you ever really want to have a bad day, wait till it's raining and read the book of Lamentations. You'll get so depressed, you'll be calling the prayer chain. There's not hardly anything that you can say about the book of Lamentations. It's a lament, and it's written by Jeremiah the prophet, the weeping prophet. How would you like for that to be on your business card? Hi, I'm Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, the author of the book of Lamentations.
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have 4 ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
There's Peter, hot-headed Peter, disciple of Christ, one of the 3 that goes into 3 places with Jesus, Peter, James, and John. Peter is the guy who gets to see the transformation of Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's the guy that gets to be in the room when Jairus' daughter is raised from the dead. He's there in the inner circle of Christ and yet denies him when Jesus is being arrested. Oh, you can be full of faith and power. You can be a bishop. You can be a prophet. You can call yourself whatever you want to tell you, but you're going to have days that all of that just feels like words. And even as you're as strong as you know you are in the Lord, if these men, if David and if Elijah And if Peter can have a bad day, I promise you, so can we. So how do we deal with that, Dr. B? How do we deal with those bad days? There is Martha, who was serving the Lord and became anxious and overwhelmed because her sister wouldn't help her work. And the Lord says, wait a minute, we love your cooking, but she's chosen the better part. And she becomes anxious while serving the Lord. Have you ever become anxious serving the Lord? And that's why people say you shouldn't ever get burnout in ministry. No, you can get burnout in ministry. You have to live a balanced life because you are a body, soul, and a spirit. You can get burnout in anything that you're over committed to and undercommitted to the balance of life, and you have no other relationships. And that's exactly what's happening to Martha. There's Hannah. She felt unworthy because she was barren. You know, how God must not love me because I can't have any children. And so she is there pleading and crying and to the point that the high priest thinks she's intoxicated because she is so sad and so broken because she wants a baby more than she wants to live. Then you have Paul, and we're going to talk about him, so I'm going to leave him to later because Paul has a physical infirmity that he calls a thorn in the flesh. And because of that, he struggles often to the point of even having to travel with a physician because it was so bad. All right, let's get started. You ready to talk about this tonight? So that's just the introduction. We're going to talk about three people, actually four people, but only 3 points. So the first person we want to talk about is Moses. Moses became insecure because of the way he viewed himself. No one can give you self-esteem but you. Now, everyone needs to hear this. If you're relying on others for your self-esteem, it's never going to work. That's not how it works. Self-esteem is how you see yourself. It has nothing to do with how everybody sees you. Because if you have low self-esteem, you are operating through a filter where even if someone gives you a compliment or someone says something nice to you, by the time you run that through your filter, you think they're manipulating you. You think they're wanting something for you, and they're just trying to be kind or trying to be nice because you run it through this filter of I'm unworthy. So when you run it through this filter of I'm unworthy, even when people try to do nice things for you, you turn it around against them and almost weaponize something kind or something nice against them because of the way you see yourself. See, it's very important, more important than you realize, that you like yourself. Because if you don't like yourself, it's almost impossible for anyone else to like you because you won't let them. If you don't like how you look, then you believe everybody sees you that way. If you're not comfortable in your own skin, you believe that is how everybody else sees you. At some point in time, you just got to say, hey, this is me. Take it or leave it, but this is me, and you got to get comfortable with you. You got to get comfortable with the length of your nose, and you got to get comfortable with the height and the weight and the shape of your mouth and the shape of whatever it is that you don't like and you wish you could trade with somebody else, whatever that is, you got to get comfortable with that and say, listen, this is my DNA pool. We're gonna work it, baby. We're going to work it. I can't do one thing about it. We're just going to work it. That's what we're going to do. You've got to be comfortable with yourself. If you don't like yourself, it's very difficult for anyone else to like you. It isn't that they don't like you, but you never believe they like you. And when you don't believe they like you, you sabotage every relationship in your life because you're filtering everything they say, the looks on their face. I can tell you, everybody with low self-esteem says things like, did you see how they looked at me? Oh, I saw that. Did you see that? Oh, I saw that. Did you see what she did when she walked on? She didn't even look at me. She walked right over there. I mean, that's the kind of language they have all the time. You know, everybody else don't think like that. I hate to disappoint you, but everybody else just don't think like that. And if you're paranoid to the point that you think that because somebody didn't say hi to you when they walked in the room, that you have already determined that they're against you, it's not because they did anything wrong. It's because your filter made you think someone did something wrong. So we have to get to this place that we get past our insecurities. So Moses finds himself in a place where he is ready, he's really sabotaging his own relationships because of this. So he has changed his status in life from a prince of Egypt to a shepherd. How many know that's a big drop? There's a long gap between prince of Egypt and shepherd in Midian. Long drop. So let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 11. God goes to Moses and he wants him to go back to Pharaoh and set the children of Israel free. So let's go to Exodus 3 and 11. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" So here's the first question, who am I? Maybe you've asked that same question before. Lord, why me? You can pick better people than me. Really, me? I'm not educated enough. Surely you can pick someone better than me. I can't sing like they can sing. Why would you want me to do it? I can't preach like they preach. Why would you ask me to give my little gift when here's someone with such a bigger gift in their life? Why would you ask me, Lord? Like Moses says to the Lord here in a minute, you're going to see this. Lord, I can't even get my words to come out right. I can't even say things the right way. How can I ever convince Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go free when I can't even put my English together well, or Hebrew in his case, together well? So think about that. Moses was in crises because his life had changed status and he was defining himself based upon that status. He was defining himself based upon what he did. Now, I don't know if ladies do this or not, so I should have asked a lady, but I know guys do this. So every man in this room knows that when you meet a guy for the first time that you've never met, the conversation goes something like this. "Hey, I'm Brian, how are you?" "Yeah, what do you do for a living?" Isn't that how it starts, guys? I mean, before they even ask anything, they want to know what you do for a living. And if you're happy about that, you're happy to tell them. If you happen to be in transition or you're not happy about that, you don't even want to talk to them anymore because it's like, this is really how we're going to start this relationship based on what I do for a living? But every guy knows that's how the conversation's going to go. That's how it works. And once you get all that out of the way, then you determine if there's any future in that relationship. Now, hopefully ladies don't do that because it's destroying a lot of guys' relationships because you might have just walked away from somebody that could be your very best friend because you put them in the wrong category based upon their occupation.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.